Welcome to Wholehearted Coaching, the podcast. If you're looking for more purpose, more passion, more joy in your life, then you have come to the right place. I am your host, Shirin Eskandani, the founder of Wholehearted Coaching and the Wholehearted Life Coaching Certification. This podcast is in service of your biggest dreams. We'll talk about mindset, manifestation, mindfulness, and we'll also look at the transformative power of life coaching and being a life coach. If you are ready to create your dream life while living your dream life, then let's do it, love. Welcome to Wholehearted Coaching, the podcast. This is where we take a deeper dive into my Mindset Monday post, which you can read on Instagram at Wholehearted Coaching. Or if you want to go even deeper and get my free weekly journal prompts that are inspired by this episode, sign up for my email list by heading to my website, wholehearted-coaching.com. And if you're interested in joining one of my transformational courses, or you're ready to take the leap and become a wholehearted coach yourself, you can head to wholehearted-coaching.com/offerings. And of course, all this information is also in the show notes. So this episode of Wholehearted Coaching, the podcast, is brought to you today by my cold. Listen, I have been struggling with the worst cold all week. It has been so bad that I have had to put off recording this podcast until the last possible moment. Today is the last possible moment I could have recorded this podcast. And honestly, even up until last night, I was messaging my incredible podcast manager saying, I'm not sure if we can do this. Like, maybe we should replay something. And I said, okay, let's just see how I feel tomorrow. Because y'all, I didn't even have a voice. This voice that you are hearing right now, I have not had it in like a week, okay? This voice, okay? This stuffed up, crackly voice is honestly the best I have sounded all week long. So I apologize. I know that, this sounds like I'm about to sneeze or blow my nose, but I really wanted to get this episode to you today because I've been thinking so much about it. As you know, for the entire month of April, we have been focusing on decolonizing ourselves and our lives. We've been focusing on how we can decolonize our growth and healing journey. We've looked at topics like decolonizing our imaginations, our mindset, our intuition. And today, we're looking at how we can decolonize entrepreneurship. As a business owner, this is something I have been really thinking about over the last few years. How can I create a business that is really a reflection of my deepest values and beliefs? How can I create a business where I make an impact in the world and also thrive alongside that, right? No more burnout, no more hustle. How can we create sustainable businesses for ourselves? Now, I know that this topic may sound like it's just for folks who are interested in creating a business, who maybe have a business, but I do think that this topic is fairly universal, especially if you work. In this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you the four keys or the four elements that have allowed me to slowly decolonize my business. And again, we've been looking at what does that word decolonize mean? And to me, in this case, decolonize really and truly means creating a business that is a true reflection of who I am, what I believe in, and what I want to be doing in this world. Before we dive in, though, a reminder that I am offering a free live workshop from May 5th to 12th, all about becoming a life coach. In this workshop, I will be offering three live masterclasses with me. And don't worry, if you can't make it live, they're going to be recorded. In those classes, we're going to be talking about topics like what a coach does, who makes for an impactful coach. We're going to dispel some common coaching myths. We're also going to look at the history of coaching and how we can start to shift and change the negative stereotypes that exist within this industry to really reclaim the power of coaching, the power of what it truly is. If you've ever considered becoming a coach, if you are an aspiring coach, if you've ever been interested in doing this work, I really encourage you to sign up. You can head to wholeheartedcertification.com/workshop to find out more, or just go to the show notes. Also, in the coming weeks, I'm going to be making some really big announcements about my coaching certification, the Wholehearted Life Coaching Certification. It's a decolonized approach to heart-centered coaching. In honor of that, at the end of this episode, I am including an interview with one of our graduated Wholehearted coaches who is going to share their experience in the program and after. And in this episode, we will be mentioning the certification because the four pillars of decolonizing coaching are pillars and elements that we talk about, integrate, and embody throughout the certification. Because we want to create coaches in the certification who not only know how to be an impactful coach, but also an impactful business owner as well. All right, let's get into this week's Mindset Monday. It reads, remember, your business is not only meant to serve others, but it's also meant to serve you as well. So buckle up, Buttercup, because I'm about to tell you some stories about some of the mistakes I made when I started my business. And honestly, I don't know why I said Buttercup. Let's chalk it up to this cold, but I'm feeling a little sassy. So this is going to sound so dumb and so silly, but one of the things that caught me the most off guard when I graduated from my coaching certification, when I started to coach, was that I was now a business owner. And like, duh, right? But this came to me as a total surprise. I became a coach because I wanted to coach. I loved coaching. I wanted to work with people. I wanted to make an impact. I wanted to help people. I wanted to be of service. And I thought that I would spend most of my days as a coach, you know, connecting with clients, making an impact, changing lives. And then I realized in order to do that, in order to connect with people, to make an impact, to change lives, I would need to figure out how to run a business, right? How am I supposed to connect with people if I'm not networking and marketing, if I'm not creating contracts and have some sort of bookkeeping system? Just even saying those things, they're not sexy, but they're really necessary. And I started to understand that a thriving coaching practice wasn't just about the coach, the practice of coaching, but also the practice of running a business. And that's when I realized I needed some help because I had no idea how to actually run a business. And this is where I stumbled a lot. I really had no idea what I was doing as a business owner. So I was looking for someone to help guide me. And of course, I went to social media, looked at all of these different business coaches and business mentors, and I fell into the trap of the six-figure scalable business model. Now, sadly, the six-figure scalable model online today is the 7 to 8-figure scalable model. Now, I'm not saying that this isn't possible for us, that this isn't something that maybe you should dream of. However, as a new business owner, I just needed to figure out what I believed in, how to start out, how to start some systems that really worked for me and my clients. However, I got caught up in the hype of creating this big, scalable, money-making business. And this led me to making some really unaligned decisions, especially when it came to money. In a lot of the coaching spaces I found myself in, the kind of mantra was, the more that you spend on something, the more you invest on yourself, the more you're going to get back. Whoo, I wish that was true for me. I learned a lot. So you know what? I learned a lot in those spaces, but I did not make that money back. I invested a lot in people to work with. I invested in people to come help me with my business. I invested a lot in a lot of things. And looking back now, that wasn't what I needed. I just needed someone to help me figure out who I was as a business owner, what I believed in, and how to start working with the people that I wanted to be working with. Of course, I didn't know this at the time. I thought the problem was me, because when you find yourself in these business coaching spaces, right, they're really kind of telling you that this works, this plan works. Look at all these people we've helped. Look at what I've done. Look at this income we're making. This works. So if it's not working, the problem is you. So instead of looking at the system and being like, is this a system that actually applies to me? I started to really point the finger at myself. So I started to work harder. I started to work more hours. I started to take on more clients that I had the capacity for. And I slowly started to get really burnt out. Now, I didn't recognize this at the time. I just thought I was working hard and putting in the hours, and this is what it was supposed to feel like. However, I had embarked on this coaching career to set out on my dream, and it wasn't feeling like a dream. I had been here before, right, with my operatic career. So thank goodness I caught it really early. I caught it far earlier than I did when I was singing. But I realized, Sharin, wait a second. You started this career. You wanted to become a coach because this was your dream. And the way you are doing it is not nourishing, is not kind. This isn't the dream that you signed up for. And this happens to so many of us who embark on our own careers. A lot of folks become entrepreneurs, start their own businesses, take that side hustle and make it into their primary job because they want to leave behind the toxic work environments that they once found themselves in, right? They want to be able to set their own hours, work remotely, be able to prioritize what's most important to them, right? We dream of having a business that not only supports us financially, but also mentally, spiritually, and physically. This was certainly me. This was one of the reasons I was so excited to be a coach, because I knew that I could have more agency in my own life. And yet here I was, a coach with my own business. I had the agency. However, I was recreating the same toxic work environments that I had once tried to escape. Right? I was overworking myself. I was undervaluing myself. I was overstepping all of my own boundaries. I see this so often with new entrepreneurs, with new business owners. We're trying to create something new, and yet, unfortunately, because we haven't experienced anything else, we end up recreating more of that toxicity and harm that we once experienced. And because of the systems that we have grown up in, the systems we've experienced, especially when it comes to work culture, it's really hard to understand when you are in a toxic and harmful environment. Oftentimes we figure it out much later, right? This is why we're talking about this idea of decolonizing ourselves and our lives. Because one of the most insidious things about the systems, the oppressive systems that we have been conditioned in, that we've been socialized in, is that they make us feel like this is the norm. Work is supposed to feel this way. It's supposed to be this way. And honestly, it's not. I remember when I was going through all of this, you know, in the midst of realizing I was really exhausted and burnt out, realizing that what I was doing wasn't sustainable, but yet also feeling that pull of the 6 to 7 figure scalable business, of feeling like I had to do things a certain way, make more money, really feeling lost. I listened to a podcast where the person was sharing a study that they had done about management and managers. And in this study, they showed that the number one reason that people were dissatisfied at work was because of poor management, bad management, right? Employees felt dissatisfied because they were undervalued, overworked, not validated, they were unacknowledged, right? And I think a lot of us have been in work environments like that, unfortunately, where the management is the number one thing that is making us so unhappy at work. And in the study that they had done, they had shown that according to employees, 69% of employees said that their manager had the greatest impact on their mental health. And this was more than the impact of their doctor, which was 51%, or their therapist, which was 41%. 69%, y'all, that is huge. And so this started to make me think that if I was my own manager, because technically I was, I owned my own business, and if I was unhappy, there was an issue with the management, and the management was me. The issue was me. I was being a bad manager to myself. I was the reason why I was so overworked, underappreciated, undervalued, unacknowledged. And so I started to really think about what makes for an incredible manager. What are the qualities that create a really healthy work environment? And that's when I started to realize that all of this work I had been doing on decolonizing my wellness journey, my growth journey, had to be applied to my entrepreneurship journey as well. And I started to think of the idea of sustainable entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship where we are making money, of course, right? We want to be making money so we can invest in ourselves, invest in people we believe in, so we can do the things we love, but also where we are allowing ourselves to thrive, because that's what is sustainable. If I cannot thrive running my business, then my business cannot exist, right? I always say your business is only as healthy as you are. And one of the first things I really had to sit with as I thought of creating the sustainable model was the idea of success. I realized I had to define what success meant in my business. So this is the first key in decolonizing entrepreneurship. In creating sustainable entrepreneurship, is you figuring out what does success mean to me? Because I realized that I was following someone else's version of success, a version that meant scaling, lots of clients, 6 to 7 figures. And that's what I was aiming for. That's what I was thinking meant success in my business. And again, that may mean success for someone else, but it didn't really resonate with me. I started to think, okay, what would feel successful to me? And I knew for me, that involved being able to travel, to take time off, to work anywhere in the world. Success meant being able to invest in people that I really believed in, meaning I could hire a team of folks that really reflected my values and beliefs, and I knew who really had my back and supported my vision. Success also meant not working a lot, not working every day. I started to realize that success could mean working with a small group of people. I didn't have to have the hugest client base. I didn't have to have programs that, you know, accepted 100 folks every month or 1,000 folks every other month. They could be small, but they could be really impactful. I started to realize that success was clients wanting to work with me and continue their work with me, whether that was one-on-one or in one of my group coaching programs, or whether they came back to me later. Success was them referring me to other people in their community. And I can tell you now that, you know, I am almost close to a decade in having this business, and I do make six figures. I'm really proud of that. However, I don't overwork myself. I don't overwhelm myself. I work with people that I love, both clients and the team that I work with. And this has happened over time, slowly, steadily. I did not come out of the gate making six figures, I promise you. This happened with patience and figuring out what felt good to me, what felt good to the people that I worked with. I love the business that I have today. It is so incredibly sustainable. It challenges me, yes, but I don't feel exhausted by it. I don't feel overwhelmed by it. I don't resent it. We're going to talk about resentment in one of the keys. I really, really love my business. So the first thing I want you to think of is, what does success actually mean to me? And if you want to get really creative about it, I would create maybe like a 5-year future vision and start writing down the things that you will be doing in 5 years. Focus on how it feels like to be running your business in 5 years. Focus on the people who are around you. That's a great way to figure out what is important to you. The second key to decolonizing entrepreneurship, to creating a sustainable business, is really knowing what your values are. And this is related to success. But when I say values, of course, it means, what do you believe in? What does your business stand for? Who do you stand for? And values is something that we talk about often here on the podcast. When I say values, you need to know what your own personal values are and your business values. Those may be aligned, but sometimes they're different. So in the coaching certification, in the Wholehearted Coaching Certification, we have our coaches do just that. We have this big piece of paper with, I don't know, hundreds of values on it. And we first get them to get clear on what their own personal values are. And we then ask them to create their business values, right? And these are just a list of 3 to 5 values. So for instance, some of my values include liberation, connection, community. These are part of my business values. They lead how I put myself in the world, what I put in the world, how I talk about things, what I talk about, right? As I said, those three, right? Liberation, community, connection. Can you sense that just in this podcast? I mean, this whole podcast series this month, liberation, decolonization, connection, being on this podcast mic with you, I feel like we're having a conversation. Community, we are in community with one another. I bring in community into this podcast space. So just even here, this microcosm of my podcast is a deep reflection of my values. My values are in everything that I do, from my Instagram posts to how I market my offerings. Now, one of the things we do in the certification, instead of using the word market, I ask the coaches to think instead of the word invitation. Imagine you are inviting someone to work with you, inviting someone to be in your group coaching spaces, inviting someone to have a one-on-one experience with you. I love the word invitation because there's agency there. And also as the coach, as the person with the business, I don't feel this sense of scarcity or forcing upon. I'm just telling you, hey, this is a really incredible ride. Here's what you can expect working with me. Here's what it is like working with me. Here's what people say about working with me. You get to decide. When I started to reframe like marketing instead as an invitation, it really shifted things for me, right? Words have power. I love Invitation because I love to throw parties, have gatherings, get people together. And that's how I see all of my offerings. Whether it's the free coaching workshop I'm offering in May, or whether it's my certification, I'm inviting you into this experience, an experience that I have poured so much thought and love into. Because of my values too, when I'm offering something to this incredible community, I veer away from scarcity and fear. I don't want you to work with me because you're afraid. You're afraid to miss out on something, or you feel like I have some solution that you're never going to figure out if you don't work with me, or if you don't work with me in the next 24 hours, then you're never going to get to work with me. No, I want you to work with me because you really want to work with me. And a lot of coaching spaces, unfortunately, what we see is marketing that's done through scarcity and fear, right? This feeling of, I know something you don't know. And if you don't work with me, you're never going to figure it out. This feeling of, oh my gosh, if I don't sign up in the next 24 hours, I'm going to totally miss out. What happens in this case, what I have seen, not because I've done it, but what I've seen in coaching spaces, is that people respond to scarcity and fear, right? Because we have been conditioned in a society that has made us believe that fear and scarcity are how we should make decisions. A motivating factor for so many of us to decide is because we're afraid. We're afraid if we don't do it, or we have felt this urgency that we need to decide now. Unfortunately, our nervous systems have become accustomed to scarcity and fear. So we'll sign up for the program, we'll do the thing. However, because it wasn't a full body yes, because it came from a place of fear, we invest in the program, we do the thing, and oftentimes we can't fully commit. Or we get in this space and we're like, ugh, this doesn't feel right to me. So we can't really get into it. I can't tell you how many times I have done this. I've signed up for something, and when I got in this space, because I did it out of fear and scarcity, I just couldn't commit. I couldn't be present because I didn't do it out of a place of true knowing. And what I have found, unfortunately, is that scarcity and fear sell in the short term, right? They'll get people to sign up. And a lot of those, you know, huge launches from some coaches come from this scarcity fear mindset. However, I found, right, that when people sign up that way, they're not as engaged. So as a coach, for me, that's not fun. I want people to be in my spaces and really feel ready to do the work. And so what I've experienced firsthand as a business owner that does not engage in fear and scarcity marketing is that it takes a little bit more time for people to decide if you are the right person or the right program for them to invest in. And when I say time, that may mean years, right? So we may not see that exponential growth that folks talk about on social media, right? I made 100K in a year. In this launch, I had 1,000 people sign up. We may not see that, but I promise you, people will realize that they want to work with you. It takes a little bit more time, takes a little bit of trust, but they soon realize that you are the person they really want to be in community with. This is something we remind our coaches in the certification all of the time. Be patient, do the work that you do in the way that you believe in the way that you do your work. And we promise you, people will work with you and they will continue to work with you. All right. So now the third key, the third factor, boundaries. One of the biggest mistakes I see first-time entrepreneurs, first-time coaches make, and I say this, I made the same mistake, okay, is that they start off and create no boundaries. And their thinking is, okay, I don't really need boundaries right now because I'm just starting out. When I make X amount of money, I'll create a boundary. When I have X amount of clients, I'll make a boundary. when I can finally hire someone to work on my team, I'll make some boundaries. Y'all, what I have learned, a truth, how you start your business is how you will continue your business. Okay, so if you keep waiting for that magical number, that magical income, the magical number of clients, I'm telling you this from personal experience, you're going to keep moving that goalpost. So instead of making, I don't know, like 10,000, it becomes 20,000. Instead of working with 10 clients, it becomes 20 clients. Instead of having a part-time VA, you think, well, when I have a full-time VA, we just don't create the boundaries. We won't create the boundaries. We won't take a day off. We won't take a vacation. We won't limit the number of clients we see. Love, if you want to create a sustainable business, if you want to sustain the incredible work you are doing, you need to create boundaries from day one. It's not a when I or if I situation when it comes to taking care of ourselves. When it comes down to it, you are the most important factor in your business. So if you are running yourself ragged, then there is no business. The business is not healthy. The business is not sustainable. What I see happen so often with new coaches, and not even new coaches, but established coaches, again, this was certainly me, you know, not having boundaries can seem really small. Like you don't even notice it as not having a boundary. So it can look like going overtime with your clients, 5 or 10 minutes, answering emails on the weekend, not having proper breaks between sessions, right? These may seem small. These may just be you thinking, well, I'm giving value to my clients. I'm so invested in my clients. But we need boundaries, right? Boundaries are guidelines that keep us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. If you're unsure if you need a boundary, something we talk about in the certification and we teach our coaches is to do a resentment check-in and see if there's anywhere in their business, anything in their business, anyone in their business that they are resenting. Resentment is often a sign that a boundary is being ignored, is being overstepped, or needs to be created. It's an early indicator that the balance is off. In this case, in your coaching practice, the balance is off and you need to reassess. So we ask our coaches, are you feeling resentful? Are you getting annoyed by clients or certain clients? Are you dreading your sessions? Are you putting off tasks that you need to do? If you are, then it is a sign that a boundary needs to be reinforced or created. Now, the thing with resentment is that involves two people. You are also part of the equation because the only person who's responsible for creating and upholding your boundaries is you. And what I have found as a business owner is that I am the one who is breaking my boundaries all the time. I am the one who's being like, oh yeah, sure, we can go over 10 minutes. That's okay. Oh, you know what? It's just Saturday morning. I'm not doing anything anyway. I'll email them back. No, that's me slapping my hand. I have to honor my own boundaries. So, you know, examples of boundaries that we talk to our coaches about is from the beginning of your coaching practice. Have clear office hours. Don't go overtime on sessions. Have a clear cancellation or late policy. Charge your full fee. Give yourself vacation time. Take a day off. Give yourself time between sessions. Clearing sometimes a week from your schedule every month. I started this, I think 3 or 4 years into my coaching practice. I decided I was going to take the third week of the month always off. And at first I felt really selfish, like, oh my gosh, what if that's the only time that works for someone? But I did that and it was the greatest thing. And guess what? My clients figured it out. If I wasn't working that week, then I wasn't working that week. Right? That's one of the things with boundaries. If we have sloppy boundaries, if we have no boundaries, people are going to overstep them. But when we have firm ones, people respect them and they figure it out. So boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. And now we are at our fourth and final key to decolonizing entrepreneurship. And this one comes from Indigenous wisdom. It is called the Seven Generations. The idea of the Seven Generations comes from the Haudenosaunee. The Haudenosaunee believe that the actions and decisions we make today have to take into account not only ourselves, but also seven generations in the future. I've also read this, that in other Indigenous communities, they see the seven generations as the five generations that coexist together, right? So your grandparents, your parents, yourself, your children, and your grandchildren, and the generation that existed before them, and the one that will exist after them. At its heart, the wisdom of the seven generations asks us to consider the impact of who we are and what we do beyond the present moment. It asks us to think of those who came before us and those who will come after us, right? It asks us to sit with the question of, what is the legacy I'm creating? And what is the lineage I'm honoring? And Leila Saad puts this as, how am I becoming a good ancestor? How am I a good ancestor? When I learned about the seven generations, it was a real aha moment for me. You know, in a lot of the conversations about entrepreneurship and owning a business, the focus is very present oriented. And, you know, of course, we think about our 5-year plan, our 10-year plan, but with the seven generations, it's what's your 100-year plan? What is your 150-year plan? And the focus is also off of just you, just me. What am I doing? The focus is on the community, on the people I'm in community with, and also the people that I want to be impacting beyond that community. I really think of the seven generations in all the decisions I make. Even with the content I post on Instagram, what I talk about here on the podcast, heck, this whole series on decolonizing is in honor of the seven generations. Because I'm not just thinking about one dream. I'm thinking about our collective dreams. I'm hoping that this series has shifted something within you, which will shift something within your community. And that ripple effect is huge. Honestly, the reason why I created the certification was in honor of the seven generations. What is the legacy that I am leaving? What is the change that I want to create? The coaches that graduate from the Wholehearted Coaching Certification, their work is going to impact hundreds, if not thousands, of lives. That ripple effect is huge. So the seven generations really asks us to think beyond this present moment, to think beyond just ourselves. So that is our final key in decolonizing entrepreneurship. I hope you found something that resonated with you from today's episode. It went far longer than I thought it was going to. I was like, okay, I'm sick. I'm not going to talk much. Thank you for sticking it out with this voice, with this clogged up voice. But I really do hope something resonated. I now am so excited to share with you an interview from one of our Wholehearted coaches, Cass Cruz. Cass just graduated in December and she hit the ground running. She has gone on to create Nova Coaching and she is offering one-on-one coaching, group coaching programs, and she has been working with Northeastern University, working with their undergrads, offering them workshops. You can find her at casscruz.com or underscore Nova Coaching on Instagram. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Cass Cruz, with one of our Wholehearted coaches from the certification, and know that we will be announcing some really exciting things for the certification soon. I am so excited to be in conversation with one of our graduated Wholehearted coaches, Cass Cruz, who is the founder of Nova Coaching. We're going to talk more about that a little later on. But Cass, thank you so much for being here.
It's my honor.
Oh my goodness. So I would love to know a little bit. I mean, I know a little bit more about you, but the folks who are listening don't. I would love for you to share a little bit about yourself, who you are, and also what drew you to becoming a certified wholehearted coach.
I love that question. Okay. So a little bit about me. I want to first convey that I am equal parts human and divine being. I think it's important to just recognize that first. I am a Black woman. I am an empath. I'm a child of immigrants who moved to the US with nothing but hope and their American dream. I grew up in the Boston area where I still live now with my husband, our two kids, and our dog. And I decided to become a coach because I recognized a pattern in a lot of the people that I've been in circles with, which was this feeling of disempowerment. As I reflected on my own journey with that, I realized that we're all born with the same innate power. But life experience, systemic repression, family dynamics, careers all strip us of that power slowly to the point where we lose sight of who we are and what we're capable of. And through my own coaching experience with you, Sharon, I had this transformative awakening where I realized how much control I really had over my life. And to drive more power or empowerment within my life. And so I want to offer that to others as well. Before becoming a coach, I was a marketer by profession, but I feel like I'm a coach by spiritual destiny. I worked in marketing for over 15 years, and I transitioned to coaching to pursue this destiny full time.
A part of your story, Cass, was you and I working together. And I told you this much later on after we worked together, which was almost from that first session. I was like, well, Cass is meant to be a coach. There were just so many parts of who you are. And I've come to know this about coaches is that we're already coaching far before we realize it or get certified to do it or start doing it. And I recognize that within you. And you know, a large part of what we were working through, I think, was this real reclamation of who you are. And so much of what you do now as a coach, I think, is in that reclamation journey that you went on. And naming that you also experienced a workplace that was really demanding and did not highlight who you were and really allow you to like just be in your castness. And so I am just one, I'm so glad you decided to become a coach because the folks who are going to get to work with you and who work with you are so damn lucky. Cass is such an incredible coach. And I'm not saying that because she's a wholehearted coach. She really is amazing. But also, this is just, I think, so intrinsically part of who you are. And I'm just so glad that you did the work to recognize and open yourself to that.
Thank you. And thank you for being a guide on that journey.
I'm the one who's honored and privileged, but I'm curious. I know that you had been thinking of coaching for a while. Why did you choose this certification, the Wholehearted Coaching Certification?
I mean, other than you, I mean, to be honest, the work that we did together when I was your client was so impactful. I know I've told you this before. It changed my life. Your approach to coaching is so compassionate and gentle and intentional. So when I decided that I was going to pursue a career as a coach full time and I needed to do the training, I knew that I wanted to be trained by someone who aligned with my own values. And it was always going to be this program.
Oh, that means so, so much to me, Cass. And I'm so glad that that approach spoke to you because I know there's lots of different approaches in the coaching world. And I think the whole heart approach is exactly what you said, compassionate, gentle, intentional, ethical, all of those things. And so I'm so glad you chose it. Did you have any hesitations before joining?
Hell yeah. I was really worried about my ability to commit to the time. I knew that I wanted to do this. I knew that it would have such a meaningful role in my life. And I was nervous about being able to take it on in addition to the other roles that I played, mother, wife, daughter to, you know, ill parents, all these other roles. But what I quickly discovered was that I was entering into this program with so much support and grace that you offered, but also the community, my cohort offered, how we helped each other through the work, how we helped each other fight against that perfect student complex. Yeah, those fears immediately dissipated.
It's so hard to like underscore how incredible the community is in the certification. And I think folks don't understand why it's so important to have a community like that when you're just as a human. But the community you all created was so amazing. And I knew this, that you all would be each other's greatest like teachers and guides and supporters and inspiration. So that was so, so beautiful to witness and see.
Yeah.
I wonder, while you were in the certification, I know you have expressed to me that you enjoyed so many different parts of it, but what parts of the certification really resonated with you?
So I would say there were two parts that were included in the curriculum itself that really stood out to me. And those were the learnings around presence and decolonized coaching. To be an impactful coach, you have to be fully present with your clients. And that means being aware not only of what they're saying verbally, but what they're saying non-verbally and what you might be processing on your own. And for me, it was, as an empath who feels other people's feelings really hard, it was actually a really good practice in learning how to manage my own emotions while I can be fully present and guide my clients. And then the decolonized coaching, I'm just so grateful for the level of intention and inclusivity that you incorporated into this program. It really helped me to put the client at the center of it. One of the things that I've witnessed through other coaches is this sense of having more wisdom or knowledge than the client does, and almost trying to guide them in direction that you think makes the most sense. But that ignores the fact that we're all coming from different positions, that we all have different levels of privilege. And the decolonized approach really honors that. And I'm so grateful that I was trained that way, because it not only helps to dispel this myth of the coach being the old wise, you know, person, but it also selfishly helped me to enhance my BS meter when it came to speaking with other people in the wellness industry.
Oh my gosh, I love that so, so much. Yes, enhancing our BS meters is so important, especially in this coaching industry where there are a lot of folks who I think outwardly may seem like they're, you know, genuine, but then once we start working with them or in community with them, we learn otherwise. What were your favorite parts of certification?
One, being guided by you. I know I keep talking about how amazing you are, but it's the truth and the world needs to know. You are such a light. The nurturing community that we talked about earlier. Since we all graduated, we've found organic ways to stay in touch. And we actually just recently had a Zoom touch base. And it was so beautiful to be in the space with those women again and to talk about how we're experiencing coaching now, how we're practicing, what are some themes that we're hearing, and just to be in community. It was just really powerful. So the community is absolutely a highlight. And then the last thing I'll say is the phenomenal guest speakers that you had as part of this program. Wow. I mean, many of them blew my mind and I learned so much. Talk about being inclusive and decolonized. There were so many varying perspectives and it was just extremely valuable for me.
I'm so glad to hear that. That's a big, when I created it, I knew I wanted to have different perspectives and different voices because that's how we really learn. So I'm so glad that was one of your favorite parts. Cass, how have you shifted and changed and grown as a result of the certification? Because one of my intentions with the certification is that it's not about just us helping others grow, but it's also a space in which we as the coaches can grow over those 6 months and beyond. So how have you changed and shifted?
Well, Shireen, you know where I was in my life when we started the program. And I didn't know it at the time, but the certification program actually was a significant factor in my own healing. And I learned to be more patient, more graceful with myself, things that were being reinforced for me really through this program. And I will say also as a coach, I've really learned to sharpen my skills that I already had, but feel far more confident in. I became a more effective coach. I also learned a lot about building a business, which, as you told us, is very scary. But thankfully, this program includes curriculum that helps to guide you even in that scary, messy part.
I'm so glad to hear that. Yes, it can be scary. And if we just name that, because I think a lot of programs and certifications don't. They're just like, here are things to do, go out there. And it's like, wait a second, this is terrifying. You want me to just email someone and tell them I'm a coach? Like that in and of itself is a really big step. So I'm so glad you found that in the program. And finally, Cass, before you share about Nova Coaching and all the things you have been up to post-graduation, what would you say to someone who is thinking of joining the certification?
I would say to them, if you want to become a coach, this is the program. The curriculum is so thorough and intentional and insightful. Shireen, you are a phenomenal instructor who guides us so compassionately and helped me to become a strong coach. Like I said, the guest speakers were so knowledgeable and so compelling. And then it was just the community. I mean, you, as an adult who's seeking, you know, continued learning, it can be quite intimidating. And, you know, especially for someone like me who hasn't been a student in a really long time. And I never felt scared. I never felt like I wasn't good enough in that group just because of the level of support that was provided. And that was also an outcome of just how you facilitated community with us. So all of those reasons are a no-brainer for me if you want to become a coach to do the wholehearted coaching certification.
Oh, thank you so much, Cass. So now I want you to share with this community the work that you are doing. And you, in the few months since you've graduated, it's like things have blossomed and bloomed in such a beautiful, beautiful way. So tell the folks out there about Nova Coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to. Nova Coaching is a coaching practice that seeks to help people honor and nurture their inner power. And I do that through one-on-one coaching. I also recently announced my group coaching program, which is called My Whole Self. It's a 6-month virtual coaching program that seeks to help women see themselves how they really authentically are and to nurture themselves the way that they desire to be nurtured. And so I do that as well as workshops. I facilitate workshops virtually online for any individuals who want to participate. But I also do workshops with different organizations, universities, and things like that. So if anyone is interested in checking out Nova Coaching, they can visit novacoaching.com or also follow us on Instagram at nova.coaching.
I love this. And I know recently you did a workshop for the students at Northeastern University, which, Cass, was that one of the workshops you developed in the certification? Yes. Okay. So part of the certification, one of the projects, the final project is creating a workshop. And I feel like for some of the students, it's very daunting because it's like an hour-long workshop. We guide you through it and how to create it. However, student after student has told me how much that workshop has aided in getting clients, making connections, and just what a great experience that was. So tell us about your experience presenting that workshop at Northeastern.
Yeah, it was amazing. Well, for one, developing that workshop on my own was terrifying. But once I, you know, actually sat with it for a while and considered what's the lesson that I am meant to help these women attain, it sort of just flowed through. And when I first did the workshop as part of the assignment, it was virtual, and I was fortunate enough to have a group of over 20 women across the country join. And there was so much great conversation and insight gathered that immediately after that, I knew I wanted to continue doing the workshop, but also that workshop was the influence for the group coaching program that I developed. Now, when I did that workshop at Northeastern University, man, it was so powerful, right? To be in the space with these young women who are ready to change the world, take no crap, you know, but also are still very much discovering who they are. It was really insightful for me to observe, you know, the next generation of women coming up and how they're experiencing the world, but to also guide them. And honestly, another thing that gave me some comfort was seeing that the challenges that we experience don't necessarily change that much. The questions about who we are and what our worth and value is, that doesn't really change. But I remember that watching the women at Northeastern University do this workshop where they're asking certain questions like, I don't know if I want to be resilient. Should I be? Should I call myself resilient? You know, and these are questions that we as grown women are still battling with ourselves. So to be in that space and to be able to guide them, you know, at such a prime age in their lives, but to also know that they will likely continue to be guided by others in the same journey, different challenges, it was really impactful for me to see.
Oh my goodness. As you're talking about this, Cass, I'm getting goosebumps because, you know, when I created this certification, one of my deepest intentions was truly to increase the diversity in all of the ways when it comes to coaches and coaching, because I know that the experience of being coached by someone who has experienced life like you have and looks like you and can come to a space with their compassion and the understanding and the empathy that we do once we've lived certain life experiences is like so powerful, right? And after going to workshop after workshop of like a privileged white person telling me to do X, Y, and Z, I was just so tired of it. And so I'm getting these goosebumps because I'm imagining these young women, and it looked like it was a women, like it was like Black. BIPOC. Yeah. So it was
all BIPOC women. Yes.
Women, BIPOC women, being led through this amazing workshop by this amazing woman of color. Like I just, you know, like this is the ripple effect of our work. And you are such an exceptional coach that I already just know that lives have shifted, and it just makes me so happy for everyone. Just like, I'm in my feelings, everyone. But and I know, Cass, I feel like from that workshop, you developed like two other workshops. Like you're your workshop machine now.
Yeah, I know. That's one thing I'm still working on, Sharon, is that all these ideas keep flowing and I got to figure out how to time them properly. But it's been really exciting. It, honestly, what I've taken away from everything creatively that has come through Nova Coaching so far is that this work is my soul work. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel so much ease and joy as I do it. But I also feel like the best version of me. And that's why those ideas just flow so easily.
Yeah, you're truly living in alignment. You are really allowing to express your purpose in all of the ways. And I know, I feel like we connected, 2 years ago? What a shift, what a change, a complete 180 from this person who had all of this within her, absolutely did, but just did not have the space, the time, the capacity, the permission, the self-permission to really, you know, go into it. And now witnessing this, I'm definitely getting emotional, Cass. I'm just so, so incredibly happy for you. And for anyone listening, please check out Nova Coaching and Cass's work, Cass Cruz. She is so incredible. Thank you, Cass, for being here. Any final words before we say goodbye?
Thank you again for everything that you've done, but also to everyone listening, if you are considering becoming a coach, this is it.
Oh, thank you, Cass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining me this week. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend, subscribe or follow where you love listening most. And if you haven't yet, leave a review. You can do this on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Podchaser, or Podcast Addict. Until next week, love.